Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Hey, and welcome back to the Forward Marketing Podcast. I am so excited to be with you. I'm your host, Joshua Jarvis. And at any time, if you ever want the show notes for any of my episodes, you can go online at forwardmarketing.com/podcast. That's the number 4, RD Marketing, like third, forwardmarketing.com. And I'm really excited about today's episode because I have one of the original growth hackers with us today. But before I get into that, I kind of wanted to do a revisit of that growth hacking episode. One of the reasons it got me so excited was that the concept really is about taking an idea that has helped someone and utilizing it in my own business or you doing that. And there's just something about that, being able to take maybe an email marketing campaign that was designed for one type of person and being able to reapply it to a different kind of business, or to take a social network that was designed for one thing and then finding out that it really touches a certain niche really well, or just any of those sort of things, just sort of excites me, because it's really what kind of describes this podcast. And the goal of this podcast is to help your business grow. And in order for you to do that, you're going to have to open your mind a little bit and say, you know what, that business over there, my competitor's business or the other businesses I see, has something to teach me. Is really, when you find the top leaders in the world, one of the things that sort of characterizes them is being teachable and being able to learn. And so we already know that you're doing that because obviously you're listening to this podcast. But just as you're listening, if you hear me talk about a real estate topic, or you hear me talk about leadership like I did last week with Dr. Rob McClelland, if you hear me talk about any of that, and go, oh, that's not for me. He's not talking about my business. I'm in construction. No, I am. I am talking about your business. All businesses need to generate leads. All businesses need systems and processes to close those leads and service the clients. And it doesn't change. Scalability may change, but ultimately, the vocabulary may change, but ultimately the businesses are the same. And so it's with that mentality that I really want you kind of approach this interview. I'm pretty excited about having Dan on the show, Dan McGraw, and that's McGaw without the R. And I heard about him on one of these sort of free webinars. Interesting that he's going to mention webinar in the interview, where very much like the whole purpose of Forward Marketing, which is to give a sort of actionable piece of content to you, something that you can do and implement in your business right away. And so that was something that I was watching, and he had this wonderful LinkedIn hack. And before I go into telling you a little bit more about him, the LinkedIn hack is simply this: that you can go onto LinkedIn and download all of your contacts. And so I'll be covering that on another episode for you. But today I want you to listen to my interview with Dan McGraw. Now, Dan McGraw is a award-winning entrepreneur and speaker. Obviously, is the reason why he was on this like sort of worldwide webinar. He's the founder and CMO of Effin Amazing, and that's spelled EFFIN, amazing. And I'll let you draw a connection to that with him. I sort of joked with him that I'm Captain America when it comes to language. And so this may be the only interview that you've ever heard Dan do where there's not profanity. And so I appreciate that from Dan. Dan, thank you very much. But Dan's got quite the resume. Again, he was actually one of the original growth hackers. He led teams at Kissmetrics and Codeschool.com. In 2015, Dan was selected to be a United States Ambassador of Entrepreneurship by the United States Department, State Department, where he had the privilege to advise universities, governments, and private corporations. This guy's brilliant. We talked marketing, and then he got into sort of data and statistics at the end of our call and our interview, and I was just really blown away. So you should look this guy up. He is, like I said, amazing, kind of like his name of the company. He's pretty amazing. And so he had the privilege to advise these guys, governments and universities and corporations, on how to build entrepreneurial ecosystems And which reminds me, I need to follow back up with him. So hopefully I can get him on for a second one. So send in your questions to joshua@fordmarketing.com. If you'd like me to have him back, I would love to invite Dan back. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dan McGraw. Well, I'm so excited to have Dan. Dan is actually a growth hacker for real. Like, you guys remember our old episode where I talked about growth hacking and I sort of geeked out about the whole thing. And one of the people that sort of got me started on getting excited about this is actually Dan. So this is almost I'm a little nervous, Dan, I'm a little shaking. You can't see me. Thank goodness we're audio, but I'm so excited to have you here. Why don't you give the audience a little background about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me. So I'm Dan McGaugh. I'm the CMO and founder of Effin' Amazing, an analytics and marketing automation consulting company. But I've been doing marketing for the past 20 years. I mean, I started back in 1998. I was one of the first people that was sending out mass emails years and years ago. So when people say they've been doing email marketing for a long time, I've got most people beat as one of the first people that was getting whitelisted back on AOL in 98. So I've been doing this for some time now.
So how did you get started in that? I mean, you know, 20 years ago, so 21 years ago, this probably wasn't like, when did email and internet start? So how did you get into that? I mean, I looked at your photo. Yeah, you can't be that old.
Yeah, no, I'm very fortunate in the fact that I started my first company when I was about 13 years old.
Wow.
AOL came out, I think, in like 96 when it really started catching up some steam. And then I started the first online booking agency, in essence, and was very, very successful with that company. But I had no idea what I was doing. So I just started like picking up things that they had on Warrior forums and things along those lines and trying to read different things and try to understand how to market on the internet. And we just got really, really good at it to the point where I didn't know that you couldn't send an email to 50,000 people in a BCC box in AOL, even though they allowed it. And my AOL account got shut off. My mom had to call and talk to the people and say, like, this is legitimate. I have to send you his business license. So it was definitely interesting, breaking the rules when there really wasn't rules at the time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, we were just talking before, but I said, you know, the way I found out about you was this sort of like global webinar thing, and you gave this awesome LinkedIn hack. And it was that hack that helped me with the audience, but also it was that sort of actionable tip that really sort of inspired this this podcast, in a sense that I like to have where someone can listen to this and actually take it and implement something in their business that can help them generate leads or opportunities for them. And really, that's the point of having you on. And so what kind of actionable item do you have today for our listeners?
Absolutely. And that's a great topic, right? One of the things that I think people aren't utilizing a lot right now is webinars. Webinars are pretty easy to get set up, and they're really, really effective. It's a great way to be able to kind of captivate your audience. And unfortunately, a lot of people's perception is like, hey, I've got to get hundreds of people into this webinar or thousands of people into this webinar. And it's like, honestly, if you can get three people that are interested in buying your service to show up at a webinar and you can get one of them to close, who cares if you get four people in there, right? Like, I just see webinars and broadcasts like that as a great opportunity that most people just aren't leveraging. And it's really not that expensive. At Zoom, it's $40 a month to have a 100-person webinar. Why wouldn't you do it?
No, that's great. So, like, and for people who listen to a webinar and they go, well, I'm in a service business or whatever, like, I don't know if you caught what Dan was saying, but like three people, like how often, especially in the service business, these small businesses, like you sell one-on-one. So if you could do a webinar and you got three people there, that's a huge thing where you're actually able to scale a business that seems unscalable a lot of times. And so I love that. So how is it just as easy as, you know, you go sign up for Zoom and just start having webinars? I mean, there's got to be a system to this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want to build out a process. I mean, when you sign up for a webinar with Zoom, it comes with a landing page. It may not be the sexiest landing page, but it's a landing page. People can register on it, right? So what you really want to do is, going back to that LinkedIn hack that I told you about, right? If you add a ton of connections on LinkedIn and then you go to your export page in LinkedIn, you can export all of your connections, first name, last name, company name, and their email. And it's usually their personal email, which is the one you want anyways. And you can use that to either email those people out and say, hey, listen, I'm doing a webinar next Thursday, sign up at this page, Or you can even use that list to do a Facebook audience, a Google remarketing audience, and actually just retarget those people and see if they'll get into your webinar, which I think is a tactic that not enough people really are aware of getting people into these webinars, right? You can do Facebook ads, you can do all kinds of different things like that and emailing them. Sometimes it's just a simple demo, right? Now, one of the things I want to go back to with what you said, right, is if you're a small services business, like getting somebody into a webinar, let's say you're in the real estate industry, or let's say that you're a massage therapist or something like that, it's going to be a little bit harder to get somebody to come to a webinar, right? Like, hey, let's view this house. Now, the way I would flip that for some of these types of businesses is actually focusing on a video testimonial and then using that in your Facebook retargeting or Facebook audience retargeting. Because if you have somebody who comes to your website, or if you have somebody that you're trying to sell on something, nothing's going to sell them more than a video testimonial. And it doesn't need to be like a high impact, let's spend 10 grand on a video. All you have to do is literally get somebody on a webcam, ask them a few questions, do some minor editing, maybe jump on Fiverr, have somebody help you with editing. And you have a testimonial video that you can now use as retargeting collateral or even as a remarketing collateral. So like really, really good stuff. So I would say you can go in either direction, right? That's two actionable tips for two different types of people. But either way, the fact that people are watching video online is going to be one of the big areas that you get the big impact.
Yeah. So with Zoom, is there any particular webinars that you would recommend? Like, is there a, you know, I don't know, particular style or anything?
Yeah. I mean, the big focus whenever you do a webinar is obviously what is going to be the educational content that people want to see. I'm actually doing a webinar tomorrow talking about how to do this on landing pages. But the thing that you want to do if you're trying to attract customers is like solve their problem, right? Don't solve your own problems. Don't sell your features. Talk to those customers and try to understand the exact words they use when they solve their problems. Don't use the words that you think about when trying to solve the problem. And if you can figure out the problems that they're facing, obviously that's the educational content that you want to use for a webinar. So build out a deck, get some stuff going. If you ever need inspiration, go to SlideShare. SlideShare is full of slides to be able to look at and be able to see what are popular. If you just go to the homepage, you can see the most popular content right now. So I would definitely look for inspiration from other people. But obviously, if you go to effinamazing.com, visit our resources section, you'll see multiple webinars in our resource section. Watch one of those and steal whatever I made. I mean, that's what's great about this stuff is we're all able to kind of leverage each other's authority a little bit and be able to figure out the best way to create this content.
No, that's awesome. And that's one of the things I really appreciated about all the content I've seen from you is that you seem to have that sort of, I don't know, prosperity mindset where like you give away the information and it's actually actionable. It's not like, oh, you should get better at SEO, but no, it's actual, it's like specific stuff. You have any like super specific things or is that literally like, no, webinars are such a huge missed opportunity that is my tip today?
Yeah, I would definitely say that webinars are a huge opportunity. And it's a big one. I mean, obviously going back to like the video testimonials, that's another huge actionable tip. We're in the process of building that for multiple of our clients right now. It just kills it from a conversion perspective. So those would be two big ones, man.
No, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. Before we actually talked about some of those, the mistake question that I ask all of our guests, because I just think that I've learned so much from my many failures that, it's almost like I almost look forward to failing in a sense that, cause I know I'm going to learn so much from it. I don't really look forward to failing, but so what's a mistake that maybe
it means I'm getting closer to success. So I'm 100% in with you.
Yeah, no, that's what they say in sales, right? You know, every no means you're getting closer to a yes. But so what's a mistake that maybe you've made that you could share with the listeners? And what did you take away from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to say, I mean, one of the biggest mistakes that I made in my career was taking advice from people who just don't know what they don't know. There's a book that I read recently, Principles by Ray Dalio. And there's a big part in the book that talks a lot about who you get advice from and the fact that like people have this like believability ranking or rating you could use. And if they've done something once, okay, well, they're kind of believable. If they've done something twice, well, they're a lot more believable. If somebody's done it three times and have been successful three times, that person is really, really believable because they have been there. They've done that. They've gone through it. And this needs to be in the exact same space at which you're working. And the mistake that I had was I used to run another funded startup called Fuelzy. We were a gas app that helped consumers find gas. And my investor is a great guy. Really, really like him. But he's not from the mobile app industry. He's also not from the gas station industry. He's also not baked into marketing. He's an investor. He knows how to make money, right, off of making investments. However, we took his advice a little too seriously on one of our rollout plans. And at the end of the day, it was actually one of the decisions that we made that wound up making it so that the business failed. And the reason why we took this is because obviously he's an investor. He's got to be smarter than me. But 2 years later, after that decision was made and we look back at the results and we look at the things we're going, I had somebody pose the question, well, why would you listen to him? And I was, well, he's my investor. He's a smart dude. He's an advisor. And they were like, but he's never done this before. He's never been involved in this industry. He literally has no idea or no right to give you that recommendation. And it really made me reflect back on and figure out, like, listen, a lot of people have an opinion, right? And most people's opinions are wrong. So you shouldn't really be listening to people's opinions if they haven't been there and done that. And that's probably one of the big things that I've learned in my career is that I can have two people being like, you should go do this thing. But if I really looked at what is their believability ranking, right? Like, have they done this before? Were they in this industry? Were they successful in this? Have they done it three times? No. Well, you know what? I guess your opinion is about as good as the air. It doesn't really matter right now. So that's definitely something that I learned in my career, which is really, really important, is if you're going to take advice, take it from somebody who knows, not somebody who doesn't know what they don't know.
Wow, that's like a super life lesson too, right? How many times would we want our children or the young people to like not have someone, they air their opinion and it like destroys them and it's like, it's completely baseless. And totally. And the same thing applies to our business where, you know, we've got even family and other people who say, oh, this isn't going to work, or maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. You should consider the source. That's awesome, Dan, because I think that that is a great lesson, because I think we can, a lot of times people's opinions, my grandfather always said, everybody's got a butthole and they got an opinion, you know, it's like the same thing. And I think a lot of times it's what other people say that impacts us so much, and it really shouldn't. And that's a great one. You said something about A/B testing that costs you some money. I'm just curious. I mean, is it a fast story? Yeah. I mean, yeah,
absolutely. I used to be the head of growth at a company called Code School. And this is years ago when like statistical significance was just coming out and like A/B testing was really becoming popular. And at the time, those A/B testing tools, Optimizely, didn't have statistical significance in it. Right. And you need to have a 95 or higher in statistical significance to see the probability of something actually working. And we were running this big campaign at Code School with this landing page, and we had an A/B test on it with a call to action, and we were super excited. We had the variant start to win, and it was winning by like nearly 200%. We're like, oh, push that live. And we wound up pushing that thing out live. And then 24 hours later, the campaign keeps running and the conversions start tanking. And we didn't really understand it at the time. We thought it was just an anomaly, so on and so forth. And then we obviously started monitoring that campaign over time. And what happened was, is the users as part of that, the variant actually had half of the lifetime value and converted at nearly half the rate as the first variant. And it wound up losing the company probably about $25,000 because at the time, nobody was really paying attention to statistical significance. And obviously that was a great lesson for me, because obviously we now even have built a statistical significance calculator here at FN Amazing. Like, there's a Chrome extension we created just so we can do it on everything. But yeah, it was definitely a great lesson to learn. That everybody at the team at the time kind of knew what was going on. But it was just one of those things where it was like, oh man, well, at least we learned from it. Never had issues again. It was a bummer on that campaign, but at least nobody got hurt. This is the best way to look at it.
You know, that brings up a great question, and I didn't know that we were going to go there. I was going to ask you this kind of extra question, but, you know, how do you decide? I mean, a lot of times you see, certain campaigns are doing really well, or maybe they're not doing well. And so you say, oh, I'm going to make this adjustment. So is there a way to, like, especially when I heard you start talking analytics, I kind of got a sense of your passion there. Is there sort of a way to say, no, this is what you need to do to push the successful test forward, and this is the this is how you know. Is there like, do you, I always feel like I never really know until after the fact. Is there a way to know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a scientific A/B test, right, where users are coming to a website or even an email, for an example, right, and at least they're coming at a random rate and they're being split between those variations, you can really start to measure the number of visits compared to conversions, or the number of opens compared to clicks. and really start to gain the conversion rate on either one of those variations. And right. you're going to want to check the statistical significance. So like we've built a calculator so you can put in the views and the number of conversions, and it will tell you which one is the actual winner, as well as with whatever its statistical significance is. And if you don't have 95%, you're pretty much, you're open to discretion. It can actually go either way sometimes. The kind of rule of thumb is if you have 85% statistical significance, you kind of are good if it's a small test. But if this is like a critical A/B test that you're running, you have to have 95% or higher, because you don't want to see yourself launch a false positive test. And that's ultimately what will happen if you don't check your statistical significance, right?
Well, so I know there's going to be some listeners that are going to go, because I'm going to put links to your website in the show notes, and I know they're going to want to go and they're going to play with this calculator. What's a good number of sort of users or tests to run? I mean, I'm guessing that you need far more than just 100.
Yeah, I mean, and off of that, I mean, obviously, if you have only 100, you can still do an A/B test, but the numbers are going to be a little bit harder because obviously you don't have as much of a variance from 1 to 100. But sometimes when a test is big enough, you can see a variation in 1 to 100, right? So now typically our rule of thumb is like try to make sure that you have 1,000 people, that see the test and actually can validate it. But at the same time, like in small testing, when you're a really small shop, sometimes A/B testing is just kind of like, we're doing it, we're seeing what's going to happen, and we're going to try to learn from it. This isn't going to be the make it or break it for our business, but we need to see what kind of messaging and copy actually works. So I always recommend to test as much as you possibly can, whether you have a 100-person email list or a 50,000-person email list. A/B test those subject lines and see if you get better opens. You're going to learn from which subject lines are better. And what gets more opens, even if one has 60% more opens, at that point, you can still say, hey, listen, you know, the subject line with 60% of the opens is a little bit better than the other one that only got 40% of the opens. So it doesn't always have to be true science, right? You can use it as a learning mechanism to improve other things that you're going to do in the future and see what kind of communication is going to resonate with your target audience.
No, that's great. Well, one of the things we like to do on the podcast is I firmly believe in networking and the power of networking. And we have all these listeners, they're captive audience. They're all listening to you. They probably think you're an amazing guy. They probably think you're effing amazing. And so what are you looking for? What kind of connection are you looking for? Is there a type of business that you're looking for that would maybe be a good client? Maybe if Bill Gates is listening and you want to meet with him, you know, is that someone that you can connect to? So this is your opportunity to say, you know, for your big ask, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing for us right now is we're working on a product called UTM.io. And UTM.io is basically a really, really simple tool that enables you to create trackable links so you can understand when somebody clicks on something that you made. Now, if you're familiar with UTMs themselves, really, really easy. They work with all analytics tools, but they're basically a little bit of code that gets added to the end of one of your links that you share online. So let's say you share on Facebook or something like that. And you can track that in your analytics and see where people actually came from. This is a really, really popular tool for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, because they need to know, like, when they post on social media, if they're getting conversions back to their website. And this tool makes it really, really easy. It's kind of like a Bitly replacement, except for it has a lot of superpowers that come with it as well.
So how is that better, or is it? And I apologize for my ignorance on this, but when I look at analytics, I can see what traffic came from Facebook, for instance. So how is this better than that?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. So the big part is that if you're rolling out a campaign, let's say that it's a Black Friday sale, right? You're going to want to tag all of your Black Friday campaign stuff with Black Friday compared to, hey, this is our Cyber Monday sale. So what you can do, instead of just saying, hey, Facebook drove X number of dollars, you can actually say, okay, well, now if we looked at the two different campaigns that we shared on Facebook, you can now actually see those two segments separately and see whether Black Friday or Cyber Monday drove more clicks and more conversions back to the website. So a lot of people end up looking at marketing as it's like this one-dimensional thing. I have traffic from Facebook. I have traffic from Twitter. I have traffic that comes from Pinterest or many other services. The difference is that you need to be able to start saying, like, this was part of a campaign or this was part of an ad set. And that way you can kind of bulk things together, because if you're spending money on Black Friday on AdWords and you're spending Black Friday, you're spending money on TV spots. If you don't use campaign tagging, you can't kind of bulk all that stuff together to really drive ROI numbers. So using UTMs is really one of those things that's going to help you do that.
No, that's awesome. I was nodding my head the whole time. You couldn't see it, obviously. So, so tell the listeners how they can find you online and how they can connect with you if they want to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really simple. Go check out effinamazing.com. So that's E-F-F-I-N amazing.com. My email is super simple as well. It's just dan@effinamazing.com. We try to keep things nice and easy around here. And if you have questions, hit us up online. I mean, if you go to our website, there's a contact form. You can always shoot us a question there. You can check me out on Twitter. It's Daniel McGaw. So no R in my last name makes it really easy. So, I'm always available. As anybody who knows me in the industry, I'm pretty connected to a bunch of different people. I try to make sure that I can get back to everybody as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Dan, I really appreciate you coming on. And like I said, you've been someone that I've sort of followed and has been a sort of inspiration as I've made sort of some transitions in my own career. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Wow, so much fun. I don't know about you, but I probably could talk to Dan for another hour or so just because I think we scratched the surface on the things that he knows and things that he can help us with. And to me, it hammers home that point when he's talking about webinars. I know a few of you probably tuned out. You're like, well, I'm thinking about my buddy Patrick who's in construction. He's like, well, why would I ever have a webinar? But yet, you know, you could run a webinar very easily if you were in construction, for instance, and, you know, talk about things they need to know before they get a contractor out there, things they need to know about materials that are being in use right now. You know, I thought about for real estate agents, you could do the buyer walkthrough, the seller walkthrough, as far as the sort of the consult, the education process, things that normally you might invite people into, you could do with a webinar or a demo. A lot of times the software companies, they do demos of things. And so you could also do a demo for them. Think about if you're a financial planner, maybe a demo of financial planning. So you've got a case study that you can walk someone through that shows them, you know, here is your, you know, you paint the picture of your ideal client and then you walk them through that. So there's a bunch of different ways to use this, but then once you've got the people to your webinar, or once you've got them to your website, let's say you ran some Facebook ads. I saw that today, a bunch of people pushing Facebook ads again, that once you've got the audience, then retarget them. That was huge. Retarget them with a video testimonial. And those are very easy to do. The hard part is just, you know, making time to do it. I just love that. I hate that when I talk to people out either through email, you guys email me or you call me, you don't know immediately, like, how does this, you know, am I talking about real estate? Am I talking about marketing? And as if I'm talking about marketing, it doesn't apply to my business. And I'm here to tell you it absolutely does apply to your business. And I mean, just email me, say, hey, you know, you mentioned this tip. I wasted, you know, 30 minutes of my life listening to your podcast, and I don't know how to use this particular thing. I would love it to go over it with you at no cost or anything like that. Don't worry about any sort of, catch to this. I'd be happy to explain how you might use the technique that we covered on our blog, on our podcast for you. So, anyway, thanks so much for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dan McGaw, and the show notes page should be updated. We had a little bit of a challenge as we switched from one software program to another on the editing side of things, and so we might be a little bit behind on the show notes page if you're listening to this the week of the last week of April and as we go into May 2018. So, look forward to talking to you soon. So thanks so much for listening. Again, you can always find all the information at forwardmarketing.com/podcast. If you can't find us, it's pretty easy. Just type in the number 4, the letter R, the letter D, and then the word marketing into Google, and you should be able to find our podcast, our show notes, and everything else that you might need about Forward Marketing. So again, thanks so much for listening. And if you really like us, I would love it if you could rate, review us on iTunes, and share it with your friends. Okay, thanks so much.